inform my supervisor. Mm-hmm. I don't care what he says. He's the supervisor, but that's it. I got my contract, and he's got to go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And after the boycott, I was so much involved and so hot about it that I wanted to be the steward of the packing shed. We worked about 50 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started, they had these cabs, and they had promised them that they had their jobs forever. They weren't going to have to worry about us taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said that in all strikes, and it's true, in most of the strikes I know, usually the people who go and breaks the strike, mm-hmm, is the one who stays there after they win the contract.
That's right.
We were lucky, we won it with our jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
All our strikers went back except for about 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find them. Or some of them had better jobs by the time we got, mm-hmm, the contract. But anyway, it was kind of hard because the supervisor had a lot of, how would you say, they did a lot for the people, the strike breakers.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot for them. You could see it. If you did something, one time they did a ticket, they gave a ticket to this lady only because she put her letterbox crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused no problems, of course. All you have to do is turn it around if it's, mm-hmm, going wrong, or the machine stops automatically if something is coming in the wrong way. But the supervisor, of course, thought that it was a big crime,
mm-hmm,
and gave her a warning ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this clause in the contract that they can give 3 warning tickets, and with the third one, they can be suspended and fired. And we can let her, or let him give this ticket because she was going to get fired soon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a strike breaker did it too, and they did nothing about it.
Mm.
And we had these little problems every day, in about 5 or 6 a day. And we had problems because he was very mad because we had won our strike.
Mm-hmm.
Fair and square, we won it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mad because it was the strikers which he had back and not the strike breakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very mad at the time, and I asked to be the steward.
Mm-hmm.
And
for the packing shed?
For the packing shed. About 50 people working there. With all of them had problems every day because we had come back new. During the strike, they had changed a lot of machines. They had changed the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like starting again in a new company because we don't know anything, how to work the machines, how to work anything at all. Mm-hmm. And they were being not very patient with us because they said that we had worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't we producing as much as the strike breakers,
mm-hmm,
if we were not new, you know? So I took the job, and I had a lot of fights. I won a lot of grievances during, mm-hmm, that time. I was disturbed for probably 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The steward of 2 departments. That was the cooler and the packing shed.
So you were steward for about 5 months?
No, I was steward for about since 1983.
Oh my goodness.
March. Yes, we went in March of 1983. Till, who was it? March of 1985. To 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like it. I fight a lot. I like fighting, tell you the truth. My mother, I think she said it once.
Mm-hmm.
She warned me about it. She said she couldn't stand me. She said I talk back a lot. And she didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
None parents do they? When their children talk back.
Mm-hmm.
But with your supervisor, you can if you know that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of fights with them, and I won them all. I didn't lose any fights. Except that the people get to depend on you so much,
mm-hmm,
that even if it's little something that that it's really nothing. They want to create a problem of it because they know that you aren't there to help them out with this problem.
If they had to do it themselves,
yes,
they would think several times about it.
It's true, because there is one of these women who, if they say Maria, come to work here, or Maria, move to this side, she would think that this is a very humiliating thing. She's kind of a middle-aged woman, and she thinks that they move her because she can make it where she is, which of course it could be the reason, but if we're working there under a contract and there is no way they can get us out because we couldn't work because it is hourly, they pay us per hour, we don't have to work fast, we're there to do our best, but not to work, you know, hard, and she thinks that if she doesn't work like everybody else, they'll humiliate her, or they'll take her to some place where only old ladies can stay, you know. And one day they told her, Maria, could you please move over to this side? And she got very mad. She wanted to grieve it. But I don't know. I never understood what would we grieve, whether if it was the words or the moving or... Or maybe we should fire the supervisor. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. So I asked her to think about it, and she did, and she didn't want to grieve it. But little things like that happen along, but not at the beginning. At the beginning, we had good problems because, as I told you, they were very mad at us. And every single thing we did, they wanted to fight us. And so we fought back. But then now, they weren't fighting. The people was just kind of get back at the company for something they did long time ago. And the supervisors didn't do it. The company did it anyway. And I had to quit for that reason. They were too dependent, too much. But I love them.
Well, it's getting late, and I have to get back in late tonight, and you probably have to be at work early. How early do you? 7 o'clock, very early.
On Mondays, we start at 6.
Oh,
and on
wow.
Saturdays, too.
On Saturdays, so you work a 6-day week?
Yeah. Sometimes 5. Depends on Fridays, is a day that you can choose whether if you want to be off or not. They call seniority list for about 20 people, and they give you the opportunity. Since there are a lot of people working, you know, to say no or yes. And some people can take it off. I usually work. I don't like to be. I like the money too much.
Yes, I understand that. I really appreciate your being willing to meet with me and to tell me about your story and your experience.
Well, I hope it helps.
You're very delightful. I can see why all those nuns wanted to capture her, Carl.
Okay.
Or from 1981?
Yeah, was it 3.5 years later? Started filing July of 81, almost 4 years now. And there's no decision. And we don't expect any of this. If you're a giant corporation, like Catherine Cook, and you're litigating something, you can wait forever. But let's say you're a worker who's, like they were forced to go to work for as little as 45 minutes in a day. Not just them, you know, different crews of workers there. If they had not struck, they waited 4 months. The company's carried on like that for 4 months. They were taking home paychecks, sometimes $30 a week. But having to report to work 6 days. Let's suppose they had filed the charge and put their faith in the government to resolve it. And Brown was governor then. Even when Brown was governor. Well, they'd still be sitting there working an hour a day. 4 years later, they would have had to quit. They had to strike. They had no choice. The law, if back then it was starting to get crimped through the legislature, once the committee took over, it's paralyzed. The law is only good for, what's a good word? It's good for you file your charge and then you wait a decade.
It's a good decade.
You wait a decade. That's exactly. There are cases that the ALRB in Sacramento is hearing now based upon violations committed by growers in 1975. 10 years later. Now,
I guess I'm not as out of date as I thought.
In her case, the workforce, it's a mushroom farm. It's year round, pretty stable. employment, especially since the union got in, the workers don't lose their seniority anymore. It's pretty easy. But imagine a field company where the crew changes every couple months. Even if you ever win money from any of these growers, you cannot find the workers to give it to. Mm-hmm. It's you know, when the, you know, the old phrase "justice laid is justice denied" is nowhere more true than cases like this, where all these, you know, these lawyers, you know, excuse the phrase, farting around with motions and dismissals, and they screw around for years and years because they know that in the end it means they, even if they lose, they win.
Yes.
It's a conscious act on the part of the Duke-Mason administration and their lackeys in the ALRB to delay things as long as possible. Mm-hmm. As soon as they took over, we found out in a very personal way exactly what it was going to mean. Duke Major took office in January of 1983. Mm-hmm. There were some charges that we had filed the year before that had been set for hearing that were set to begin on Monday in February. I forget the date, February 17th, something like that. Mm-hmm. The hearing was set to begin. The trial was set to begin. And this was cases involving her, mm-hmm, and a number of other employees there who we won an arbitration for, and the company refused to pay the money. And a very, very clear cut case of just completely ignoring the bargaining process. And so that hearing was going to begin. The trial was going to begin on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Friday afternoon at 4:30, and this was about 3 weeks after Duke Major took over. Duke Major's, the deputy general counsel of the ARB in Sacramento, sent a telegram to all the parties saying that the hearing was postponed. Not postponed, canceled, because he was withdrawing the complaint for further study. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Except he was the same person who, as regional director a few months earlier, had issued the complaint when he, mm-hmm, was regional director in Oxnard. Duke Major took over, promoted him, bought him off, mm-hmm, and all of a sudden, okay, in that case, what are we now? We are now 3 years later, still has not been moved.
Oh,
and it's sitting there. And there is hundreds of thousands of dollars owed to people who she works. And we frankly have no hopes that it will ever be moved. Mm-hmm. And they just came in. They undid it. It's tantamount to a prosecutor in a civil case. Let's say he's got a murder case against somebody. You know, it was less than one business hour. I mean, there's a weekend in there, but Friday, 4:30 p.m. Less than one business hour before the trial set to start, withdrawing a case that he himself has decided has evidence, and not even presenting it to a judge to see if it's evidence. Just withdrawing it unilaterally, and that's it. And there's no appeal, and goodbye. And there it sits.
Mm.
And if what is going on, and the growers are so stupid, very unconsciously what they are doing is they are provoking us into becoming a very rough bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
We were starting to get flaccid with the, mm-hmm, law. We could go file charges. We could count on the law to do things. And we were sitting. You know, we were not tough. We were not out organizing workers. You know, it's not. Maybe it's cyclical. Maybe the union has to get the living tar beat out of it every 4 or 5 years for us to get our act together and come up again. Because every act they take, we will respond. It takes us a while,
mm-hmm,
but we will come back stronger, and they're just digging their own grave. They just don't understand that. Every time they do something like this, if the Duke-Mason was smart, he would not do that. He could cripple a law without crippling it.
Mm-hmm.
He could take care of his big contributor corporations,
mm-hmm,
but he has to let some of the more blatant violations get prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing this, by completely doing this, he's eliminating the union's stake in the law.
Mm-hmm.
So if the growers are going to break the law and get away with it, why shouldn't we?
Yes.
And you know, the union has this theme, you know, Caesar's Creed of nonviolence. And a lot of people think that farm workers are very naturally nonviolent. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. We have to restrain people. And we know this. We got guys who come up to us, you know, as union representatives, and say they're going to go out and beat the tar out of some strike breakers. And we have to restrain them.
We were not on a strike. We wanted to beat all the kids.
Sure, it's natural. It's
all
not,
of the people who went
strike
in there.
Not
every
even,
morning when we saw them coming in, we wanted,
sure,
to jump on top of them.
Not every UFW member is Cesar Chavez, who has this, mm-hmm, deep abiding belief that the way to do things is nonviolent. We have to pound the nonviolence into them. I mean, I say as a union representative, we have to make sure. We have to tell them, look. And this is what we told them. You have faith in the law. You do not, if I don't care what they do, if they throw rocks at you and pull guns at you, you do not do the same thing, because you will not win that way. And it's very hard to tell people who come, most of them come from Mexico, a society where guns are, and rural Mexico, where guns are used pretty frequently. And I'm amazed that in all these years, There has never been a case of a UFW member killing a grower or strike breaker. I'm continually amazed because I've seen the provocation myself. It's really hard, and the growers, I mean, I don't know how long the union can do that, or how much workers will take before they say, look at Caesar, we've had enough of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, not anything against Caesar, but just, they're going to say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or what's going to happen when Caesar's no longer with us?
Mm-hmm.
Will we be able to maintain that? Or are they going to provoke civil violence? Like, and it's boiling up inside, and people don't see that. They see a nice city, they see rich fields, they don't see that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
When last week, all those women who were up in that meeting today came down to the state labor board office, almost all of them, they wanted to call the labor board office in Sacramento from the labor board office here,
mm-hmm.
and know why there'd been no decision on the objections to the election that I was talking about. And the lady here at the director of the state labor board office locally said that she had called Sacramento for them. She wouldn't let them use the phone to call.
Mm-hmm.
And that she said, within 2 days, you'll have your decision. Okay, well, it's been 6 days. That may not seem like a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is official state lying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming down here again tomorrow. They're going to go to the office there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so many times people will engage in, you know, this you know, coming down and marching around and talking before.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they come down and they're going to start breaking windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking women here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were asked, after you left the meeting today, they were asking me, what can we do? What, should we just go down there again and have her lie to us again?
Mm-hmm.
What can I say? Yes, that's what you should do. And they said, I think we should break all the windows and screens. I said, I don't think you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's only, when the law becomes a farce, when one law becomes a farce, then all laws become meaningless. And
mm-hmm.
the situation is playing with fire and he doesn't realize.
Yes. I'm sure you're absolutely right.
It's a mm-hmm. phenomenon that nobody sees it, and when it boils over, you pull out this tape and you say, here's the guy who told us what's going to happen. Because
mm-hmm.
either we're going to be so creative and come up with some way to get around this
mm-hmm.
through the union that we'll make it superfluous.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some areas, it's what happened.
Thank you very much, Carl. I really appreciate it.
I wish you could come tomorrow so you could see these ladies take on the labor board.
Well, it sounds exciting.